Well, I'm still trying to be high tech, high speed, low drag. And do you know what? I don't like, that's what I'm looking for, typing on these things. It's one thing to type something in for a couple minutes, but you're trying to type an entire message. You know, my thumbs are pretty good and they're pretty agile. But I prefer to write. And I'm like, man, I can see my notes better, and if I mess it up, I don't have to or highlight it, and then my fingers bumps it and wipes the whole thing off, which is usually my problem. But I figured out, thank you, Holy Spirit, when I got done, looked at it, I said, hey, wait a minute, this thing's got a camera. So I took a picture of my notes. I love it. So I was like, thank you, Lord. So last week, we were talking about entering the kingdom of heaven, right? We talked about being baptized, and that's what we do. We become part of the kingdom. But here's the thing. I told you, the kingdom is not a gathering of people. I'll show you here in a second. Matthew 3:2. Oh, got to turn that thing on. Maybe. There it is. And did you do that, Jason? Okay. And saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is John the Baptist. He's predecessor leading up to Jesus. He's the one making straight the path so that Jesus can come. He's preaching. He's telling people to repent. Repent means basically to convert. Switch what you're doing. The word kingdom is basileia. Basileia means a royal dominion. See, we're Americans. We got this rebellious streak in us for 250 years. And we don't really care for kings. Because see, in a kingdom, you don't own anything. The king owns everything. I mean, have you ever watched any of the Robin Hood movies? They're in there, how dare you take the king's stag? The king is 200 miles away. How can this be his stag? Well, it's all his property. Even the lords, they were subject to him. Their property could be taken from them if the king so felt. So the concept of a king is something totally kind of lost on us. But it also means when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. I talked about this last week, didn't I? Many of us in here have rented, and there was a person called a landlord. They owned the house. They told you what you could or could not do with the house. And when you make Jesus your king, see, the king owns everything. He owns you now. When you do that, I don't want to be owned. Let's crucify the rebellious nature, because it's not in a good way. And let's understand, he's a good king. God's a good father. And so the king has full authority. Now, we're going to talk about one thing real quick. So in Matthew in particular, he used basileia theon arnon. I don't speak Greek, so I butchered them, which means kingdom of heaven. Other writers in the New Testament used basileia tu theou, which means kingdom of God. Now, there are at least four instances where Matthew used the same terminology. So, but they are both, everything I've read about these passages, they're interchangeable. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Heaven is a spirit place. God is a spirit. Now, Luke 17. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. I can't see it. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of God resides right here. Inside of you. You're not going to look around and say, well, I'm in my kingdom. These are my peoples. And No. But there is a way to tell who is. I want to read this real quick, though. There's a kingdom dynamic I read. This is by Jack Hayford. Fundamental to New Testament truth is that the kingdom of God is the spiritual reality and dynamic available to each person who receives Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. To receive him, the King, is to receive his kingly rule, not only in your life and over your affairs, but through your life and by your service and love. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said. This is never to be construed as possible if we operate independently of God's power and grace. The possibility of a reinstatement to rulership is brought about only through the forgiveness of sins and the full redemption in Christ through the cross. The Bible never suggests either, one, that there exists in man a divine spark which may be fanned to flame by noble human efforts, i.e. all the things you think you're doing to try to spark holiness isn't working. Or two, that godlikeness is somehow resident in man's potential as through though human beings are or may become gods. That is a message that has gone around before too. You're not God. Understand that. We are never God. We are put on this earth as authority, and we squandered it. But that's another subject for another day. To the contrary, man is lost in darkness and alienated from God. However, full salvation brings restored relationship to God and a full potential for his kingdom's ruling within us. As we walk with him, Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to cause the anointing of his messiahship to be transmitted to us. So it is, and on these terms only, that a human being can say, the kingdom of God is within me. Now, I thought that when I was reading out the other day, man, that is just too good not to share. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, most surely I say to you, remember this is Nicodemus, we talked about this last week even. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, Pastor, you just said you can't observe the kingdom of God. You absolutely cannot. Because here's the thing. Who's he talking to? Nicodemus, right? Nicodemus is a what? A Pharisee. He's a Jew. If I'm with other Marines, we have terminology. All the military has them. But if two Marines are talking, we can talk about certain things and you'll be lost in the first 5 minutes. Because there's terms we use, things you don't know. Now, some of the other military branches can hang on, just like even today they use acronyms and stuff. I'm like, I have no idea what they're saying. But I can hold on to the conversation a little bit. But so he's talking to a Jew. So the word see obviously can mean using your eyeballs, right? But if the word just told us that it can't be seen, what's it mean? In Hebraism, which is just a terminology of their language, using one word and meaning something else, just like we use see, it means to experience. I've picked on my wife up here on this over the years. She's like, let me see that. See? No, she doesn't want to use her eyeball. She can use her eyeball, smart aleck. She wants to touch it. She wants to experience it for herself. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you cannot experience it unless you're born again. You're born again in the spirit by the water baptism. You're born of water, your natural birth. The water baptism is you're born again. The old man died. That's what it's always been. The word experience, it means observation or participation. Practical knowledge, skill, or practice, something personally encountered, undergone, or lived through. We've all got some different experiences. I know right around through, I can go right down this list and see some of your, and I know some of your past. just on that side, it can be devastating. Loss, trauma, violence towards you. You have an experience that somebody across the aisle may not, and you pray to God they never do. But you see, in the kingdom of God, we can have all of these. John 3:5. Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now he's saying, not only can you not experience, you can't even get in. Jesus would say in Matthew, he said, unless you are converted like one of these little children, become like them, again, not childish, childlike in your faith, childlike in how you treat people. It has been my experience. For the most part, you have to treat your children and other people awful for them to be awful people. Children come out loving. When that little baby is sitting there holding, you got that little baby nursing that baby, changing, oh, just cocoon, you know, sniffing that baby. Y'all do it. Don't pretend you don't. You never know that one day that child will grow up to be Adolf Hitler. Because something happened. But he was born innocent of all the anger and all the hatred. As a matter of fact, when he was a younger man, one of his best friends was a Jew. A man who gave up his coat so that he could stay warm. I believe, as the Bible puts it, the night Jesus was betrayed and Satan entered him. But a child is innocent. Children have to be taught racism. Why does my child have such a temper? Where are they seeing it? My child cusses up a storm. What are they hearing at home? That is what in reality is happening. They're being taught all the nasty, negative things we don't want them to learn. So, you can't enter without being born again. Baptism is a ticket into the kingdom. The kingdom is the experience. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, right? We're not partying, but this. Paul is actually talking about liberties and foods, something the church likes to argue all the time over stupid things. Well, I can eat oyster. You can't eat oyster. You can't eat pork. You can't. Quit being stupid. Even Paul said, it's all awful to me. And I changed my stance years ago because I'm a teetotaler, other than a medicinal, because I grew up with alcoholics. I seen things you don't want to see. Experienced things I never wanted to experience again. And so I don't drink. But Paul was saying, first off, okay, I've got that revelation. I now teach the truth. I still abstain because I know myself. But if I'm doing it, I'll go back to, we'll use something simple. If I'm eating a steak, thank God we got lots of protein over there this morning. If I'm eating a steak and my brother was raised a vegetarian and he doesn't quite have the revelation that it's okay, he still sees meat as murder. But I'm saying, I'm going to eat it anyhow. I don't care. It's sin to me. I'm violating the law of love. That's why it's important to pay attention to what you're doing. And that's why I tell you, it's actually a little harder to walk in love than it is by the law. Well, I got legalism on my side. I can't do that, can't do this. No, but I got to pay attention to him and her. What am I doing? Am I harming them? Anyhow. is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteous by the Holy Spirit. Peace by the Holy Spirit. It's what Jesus left us, right? He said, my peace I leave with you. What do you think? Where do you think it came from? Oh, we got little warm, fuzzy feelings. You know, nothing's going to go wrong. I've got... Every last one of us has had something go wrong in our lives. Even in the last 10 years. We get mad at God. God, I thought you were going to protect my family. Jesus said, it's impossible that no trials or tribulations or any offense could come near you. So, beware. The peace is, just like this young lady, my heart goes out to her family. But I hope they know Jesus Christ and they're standing, just like we had to stand. Y'all pray, we're checking out. We are fighting a fight. And we don't need anybody's negative connotations. That was the second child. Jesse, oh, we don't know. He's a really sick baby. He's really sick. Probably the healthiest horse I've got. Actually, he's more like a bull. I think that would be more of a description. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus is talking about the way we look. Oh, Lord, I want a new car. I want a new house. I want. Jesus said, God knows you already have need of these things. But seek him and his righteousness. Righteousness, I'm not even going to try to butcher this word, is conformity to the claims of a higher authority and stands in opposition to lawlessness. What law? You just said we're free of the law. Yeah, we're free of the written law, but we are not free of the law of love, which is more stringent, which requires a tighter, straighter walk. Remember the rich young ruler? Oh, Lord, what do I need to follow you? Jesus said, keep the commandments. Which ones? Jesus listed out certain ones. Lord, I've kept all those since my youth. He said, yeah, you lack one more thing. Sell everything you got, give it to the poor, and follow me. Wow. And he said, the Bible says he dropped his head and walked away because he was wealthy. Many scholars believe that was Barnabas. But I don't know where they got it from. Just telling you what they believe. But righteousness is also the judicial approval. Sit and think about that for a second. God has judicially approved you. A judge passes a conviction or an acquittal, right? Can the sheriff come in and say, well, you've been acquitted, but I'm going to arrest you? No. You've been acquitted means you've been approved. We have been acquitted. And now we're approved by God. That's what we actually seek, is it not? When we step into, I'm going to call them the yellow footprints, because that's what Marines stand on. And we're looking at God. He's going to say, enter, well done, enter into your rest. Or, who are you? The latter you never want to hear. Now, so what kinds of things does God approve of? Galatians 5:22. Go figure. Here we are, back at that verse again. Taught on this many, many times through the years. But the fruit of the Spirit, singular, it's all one thing. It's just a different aspect of it. Because remember, one fruit brought all sin. And by one fruit, we're redeemed. But the joy of the Spirit is love. That is agape. And love, the agape love means to prefer. To prefer what God prefers. God said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. We want to give, Lord, we sacrifice. I desire obedience over sacrifice. But Lord, I'm going to sacrifice myself to you. He didn't ask you for that. He said, just obey me. Constant, and I'm going to keep pounding this so you all understand. When you disobey the Holy Spirit, that's who's in you, speaking to you. When God tells you to cut a tree down, you cut that stupid tree down. Because I'm reminded every stinking day of my disobedience and how merciful my God is. That the next time, within a split second, he said, you got to get up. That I obeyed. Now, carry on. Spirit is love, joy, peace. Love and joy and peace, you know, sometimes it's a little hard. Oh, Lord, I got no peace, man. We're just starting wars everywhere, here and there. We ain't starting nothing. We're just dealing with some garbage that needed to be taken out 50 years ago. Amen. It should have been. It stinks that we have to see it now, but it is what it is. Long suffering. I've told you before, you know what it means. Patience. When you ask God to deal with your patience, the people that push your buttons the most, they're going to be writing a novel. They're going to hit every button they can. They're like Will Ferrell on Elf. Buddy the Elf got in the elevator and went to the elevator lights. And it was a 70-story building. They just push all your buttons. That's what happens. But fruit of the Spirit. The kingdom of God is long-suffering. Why do you think Jesus never just grabbed Peter by the side of the head and banged it up against a rock? Do you get it yet? How many more times, Peter? Kindness. And we, you know, as Christians, you generally get pretty good on that. We try to be a little kinder. There's a lot of people got a long way to go because they think, well, I'm just being bold. No, you're a jerk. Well, I'm being bold for the gospel. When you turn away more people, then you're... Do you know what kindness was? Jesus sitting down at a well in a land where they didn't like them. They hated them. Even though they were descendants of Jacob too. But the Jews were particularly spiteful of the Samaritans. And this woman who had been with a few men in her life, he was kind to her. He didn't come judging her. He just said, no, I know you. And she went, and you're still talking to me? I've heard this. I haven't seen the evidence yet. A couple months ago, I saw the thing come up. You got to be careful. But I pray to God it is true. But there was a particular adult movie star. She's dying. She got into directing and making movies. And then when she retired from all that, something hit her body and she put her in the hospital. She lived most of her life up till now for herself, for money and fame. And then she found Jesus. She got saved. I haven't heard anything else. But if she were to walk in here today and you knew who she was, would you greet her as a sister? Or would you judge her on her past? There ain't no one of us in here that's a perfect little angel. Well, I didn't do this, this, and this. No, but I did do this, this, and this, and I thought about killing that person. So that made me a murderer, according to Jesus. Goodness. Again, that's kind of another thing. Oh, they're just such a good, I don't get this term a lot. I don't understand it. They're a good Christian. Isn't that what a Christian's supposed to be? Shouldn't it follow us? They're a good Christian family. Not behind closed doors, they're not. That's where the rubber meets the road. And if you, never mind. Faithfulness. I heard somebody explain it to me this way one time. Faithfulness is not the act of committing adultery, but not looking at the woman to commit adultery. Not even looking. That's true faithfulness. Don't tell God how faithful you are until you're ready to commit. By the way, if you keep listening to yourself and doing other things as opposed to what he's told you to do, if God tells you to do something, you do it. And you stay put. Recently, I just came to the kind of the revelation of, God, I've known this before, and I just don't know why I kind of slipped a little bit on doing this, but when you ask God something, you want direction. You know, that's usually what we're praying for, right? Lord, I need some direction. And just recently, we experienced something. We prayed. I told her, I said, you pray, and I'll back you. Well, we decided we were going to do it. But I never heard anything, and she really didn't hear anything negative. That's what we go for, isn't it? That gut turning. Oh, yep, this ain't right. And yet, the thing never happened. And just recently, it came to me, God's silence is a no. Because we're asking something because we haven't fulfilled the last thing he told us to do. How can you move on if you haven't forgiven people? I had to forgive a few people to be here. People that I was justly peeved with. But God made me forgive them. Well, I say he made me. I came to the revelation, I don't want to be bitter and cold and dead. Gentleness. People think that gentleness is a weakness. I think it was Solomon. And he was. This is going to be first Boa. Remember what that is? First book of art. A real mystery is seeing a warrior with his love. How a hardened man who can take the life of a combatant is with his wife. How gentle he can be, but yet he can decapitate the other person. That's what Solomon was meaning by that. He can be gentle. Gentle with your children. Now, all you fathers, grandfathers, you know, you know this. You know, when I'm on this side of that line now, and it's like, okay, I didn't tolerate that with my kids. Why am I letting him do this? I am not a jungle gym. But up one side and down the other, 100 times. 101, they're done. It's like, okay, I am getting old. Anyhow, so there's gentleness. These are all in the same fruit, singular again. This is the stuff that's supposed to be coming out of us to be recognized as the kingdom of God. Self-control. You can have some sweets, but know when to push away from the table. And if you cannot, stay away from it. But it doesn't mean that it's sin for the other person to have a cheesecake. Although I think it's pineapple upside down cake. Who made that? There we are. Somebody made one. I'm like, I haven't had cake in 3 months. Papa's having cake today. Just a piece, though. Because just like the guy I told you, the minister up in Michigan, eating the cake balls, that was one piece of cake that wide and that tall, smashed tightly into that. And the guy stood there and ate three or four of them. And Mark Barclay's like, brother, you do know that's a whole piece of cake. You just ate almost half a cake. And be honest with you, probably wasn't the thing he should have been doing. Against such, there is no law. None of this stuff falls under a law. You can't tell somebody, Vicky, you can't be good. Teresa, you can't be gentle. You just can't be. There's no law against it. Be good. Be gentle. Prefer others. That's what that word agape really means. Prefer God's way. Prefer others. Righteousness, I used to say, I saw it a long time ago, is God's way of doing it right. God's way of doing it right ain't always our way, is it? Here's a thought. Instead of for thousands of years, why didn't God just eliminate us? There's a reason. I don't think any of us will truly know until that day where it's revealed. So, what's that got to do with the kingdom of heaven? Well, let's look at this one. But, I backed up. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Works, multiple. These are the things people can see on the outside. Adultery. Yeah, that's usually external. Starts in the heart, but it reveals itself. Fornication. Words porneo. Want to guess? Uncleanness. Lewdness. Being nasty when you date. You don't have to be. Idolatry. That is putting anything in front of God first and then in front of your family. I know a man didn't spend any, his kids are all grown now. Wouldn't spend time with his kids. He had to go fishing every weekend. He would go fishing because he loved to fish. And if he wasn't fishing, he was hunting. Never spent the time with him. Never took him to church. Sorcery. Interesting word. Except the Greek, the word is pharmakia. We've heard that word. It's called pharmacy. Back then, and somewhere along the line, it got converted over to mean witchcraft or casting spells through drugs and stuff. I think, honestly, if Paul was trying to convey that, he would have said straight up, witchcraft. Because the Bible teaches against that. Sorcery really means pharmakia, which means drug use. I'm not talking about the medication you're taking to get over something or whatever. We're talking about heroin, cocaine, marijuana. All these things that dope you up, and they drop the guard. That's what I call him, the guard at the gate. When I find out somebody's currently on drugs or they've been on drugs recently, what they have to say about spiritual things, unless it's, I've seen some really wicked things. I'm not listening to you because you opened your mind up to the enemy. People seen weird things on LSD. People get on pot, and next thing you know, they're the next Messiah. Stay off drugs. Hatred. Do I need to explain that one? I don't like them people. They're too colored. They're brown. They're off-white. Well, let's get something straight. We all want color. Just different pigments showed up. Can't say, well, I don't like the Irish. Well, that's okay. Your red hair came from the Scottish anyhow. We can't hate people. And that's why I told you, did that message years ago about hating. Well, I got to hate something. No, you don't. Because the problem is you can, well, I hate sin, brother. Well, I'm glad you do. Can you separate the sin from the sinner? Are you going to look at this woman who did adult movies all her younger years and even produced them and directed them and led other women into this industry? You can't hate her. They all need Jesus. Contentions. We get like to get little things going. And I'm not talking about all the Browns versus the Steelers. And by the way, I don't give a flying flip about sports. Did I say that well enough? I don't care what your favorite team, I'm going to pick on them all. Recreational activities are moot. Or we're warriors of the gridiron. I get all this stuff started as combat sports. That's where all the Olympics came from. But the reality is, what was the, was he a wide receiver for the Cardinals? Can't remember his name. No. The one that left football to go die in Iraq. Was that Tillman? Okay, Pat Tillman. He earned my respect. These guys dancing on the other side of a line, acting like an idiot. Come on. I saw 5-year-olds do the same thing. Act like you've been there before. But no, it's all about the money. Got to pay for these multi-billion dollar stadiums. Anyhow, I'll get off my soapbox. Jealousies. You can throw the word envy in there, /envy. People in the body of Christ should not be jealous of somebody, a talent somebody else has or a calling on somebody else's life. Walk in your lane. I can do a lot of things, but God has been telling me I don't have to do a lot of things because he's put people there to do the job. I used to cut my own hair for, I don't know how long it's been now. I said, finally, I mean, and from time to time through the years, Monica, can you straighten this mess up? But when you just got to put one clip on, every 2 weeks I go to Monica, she's over, okay, looked around here. Because she has to look at it. She's like, I can see where you jerked and put this thing in the side of your head. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to. Jealousies. You jealous of somebody up here who can sing? Sing out loud here. I would actually love a time when the audience is so loud singing, you can't hear these guys. And we got a lot of power. We can find out. That's what I want. I can't sing, but neither can I. I sing in my truck a lot. Outbursts of wrath. Let's camp on this one for just a second. Outbursts of wrath. Do you know how many Christians I know have a hair trigger temper? Time you crucify that thing. Jesus got a little mad. Well, I don't believe it. Well, I remember twice he made a whip and went in and cleaned house. He got a little frustrated from time to time with the disciples. How long do I have to carry you? I'm carrying you. You should be doing this by now. That wasn't an outburst of wrath. An outburst of wrath is telling your child they're worthless. It's hitting your child up the side of a head for a mistake. Those are outbursts of wrath. Hitting your wife. And I'll say it again, from right here, women, if your husband's wailing on you, let me know. Well, I don't want him to get hurt. He'll be able to walk. Just not far. Well, I... Oh, shut up. You wanted somebody to step in for you years ago. Outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambitions. We pray every Sunday on our way in. Lord, this is not about us. It's not about the praise team. It's not about me. It's about you. Let nothing be done out of selfishness. And I bind spirits that would try to come and rise up. And I'm going to tell you what, a couple times God led me to pray a different way. And then I realized we had somebody in the congregation just showed up that they were up to no good. New visitor. Dissensions. We love splitting things up. How many different denominations are in this town? You can start counting. There's churches in places you didn't know we had churches. Heresies. Again, kind of comes, it's opinions. I've told you once, I'll tell you twice. If you've got something conflicting, don't start with I believe or my opinion is without scripture. Because I'm going to go back to the scripture. And if the scripture says this, I'm relying on that. Because my opinions don't matter. Holy moly. Envy. Well, we hit envy with jealousies. Murders. Like I said, I killed a man in my heart. I knew how I was disposing of the body in the whole nine yards. Drunkenness. Again, the Bible doesn't say you can't have a drink, but it says do not be drunk. For me, I wasn't a fighter. I hung out with the fighters, which was a bad, bad place. But I was a lover. And that's just as bad. So I don't. Revelries, rabble rousers, people just stirring things up, going around, and antagonizing a fight. And the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not receive that which is your rightful part. We hear people, I didn't see a bit of my grandfather's fortune. Lord, see. What were they really going to do? Inherit it. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. What is kingdom of God again? Righteousness, joy, and peace through the Holy Spirit. When you're practicing all these things, or any of these things, you're not going to walk in peace. You're not going to walk in joy. You're definitely not going to be in righteousness. Do you really have a part in the kingdom of heaven? We have got to make sure we're focused on what we're supposed to be doing. I like how Paul put it. I forget exactly where it was at, but he said, if you think eating things offered to an idol, you don't have to argue the point. If it's okay to eat it, you don't have to argue your point. He said, as long as you have faith and you're not convicted or condemned of that, he said, keep your faith to yourself. What's he saying? Keep your mouth shut. You don't need to attack the weaker person just to try to prove that, well, I can do this. Bless God, it says I can eat bacon. I mean, that would really be a bummer to me if any of you really, truly thought that. But I think we've all got to the point where we understand it's not about that. And if God tells me to cut back the bacon, I'll cut back the bacon. And yes, I am now hungry. I've been up since 4, and I had to eat a little coconut bar just a few minutes ago because I'm like, okay, I'm going to spike and be walking across there and go, poof. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy. And that right, the fruit produces it all right there. I can walk in joy, not knowing what tomorrow holds. I can walk in peace. God, I trust you. Gas prices are going to come down. I'm going to declare that. Her car uses premium. Whew. Never been so glad to drive my truck that burns the cheap crap. I was like, $4.99 or $6. Peace, joy, and righteousness. Walk in those, you're in the kingdom. That's what's supposed to fill your heart. Not, why are they getting blessed and I'm not? Well, there's a few things, but only you can naturally answer it. Why did you do this? Well, I don't know. You remember doing that as a kid? You'd be getting, about to get your butt beat. Why did you do that? I don't know. And you got beat anyhow. If you'd had a good enough reason, you might have got off, but there was no good enough reason. I'm just a stupid kid. That's why I did it. All right, let's stand. Had this nice glass of water that my wonderful usher put up there for me. And these traits, all the things we just looked over, if you've ever been out in a store, man, there's just something about that person. It's kind of witnessing to me. $100 says it's because the fruit is showing. You're seeing God's fruit in their lives. The peace, the joy. I've met some people in this community, and after talking to them and finding out who they are and what they just went through, and they didn't complain. And they just went through hell and back. They said, I just trust God. But yet we're still arguing over it. Why? Because we're jealous. I want what they got. You gonna pay that price? There's a price to be paid for every part of that fruit. You want that patience? And then when you think it's over? Wasn't too long ago, Justin said, I asked God to help me with patience. I said, you do know what's coming, right? Well, yeah, I kind of know. Well, that week he's like, oh, I didn't know what I asked for. He said, every day I turn around, there's something. But you need to walk these things. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord God, we love you. Father, you are our judge, jury, and executioner. And Lord, as we come before you, we stand acquitted. Lord God, help us all to produce this fruit. Lord God, because it's not just us who are being judged by that fruit, it is you. People are looking at us and seeing how we act. Lord God, help us to walk uprightly and in your truth. Father, and I pray for each and every person here today, Lord, that they first off understand they are part of a kingdom. And that, Lord, all these things can start to take place in their lives. But each and every one of that piece of that fruit requires a test. Help them, Lord God, as they go through that. Give them strength, give them courage, and remind them each and every time of how good you are. And now, Father, I thank you for your people. Lord God, I bless them here today. Father, I thank you for their faithfulness. And Father, we thank you for the food we're about to eat. We bless it, Lord God. We bless this time of fellowship. Lord, may your love continually be stirred. In Jesus' name, amen.